All right, welcome to August 30th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. It is I, your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. And one of the reasons why I do this show is because I'm a proud patriotic American. And hopefully, one of the reasons you're listening is because you are also a proud patriotic American. I assembled this podcast from beautiful San Diego, California, in a tool shed in my backyard. By the way, if you're looking to move to the area, I highly suggest you check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. As a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So check out the website TeresaLovesRealEstate.com and then give her a call, 619-507-4906. Let's begin the show as we normally do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags if we have one, and put our right hands over our hearts, and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That's what I'm talking about. And now on to today's headlines. A hotline is established between Washington and Moscow. Thomas Jefferson responds to Banneker's letter. Monsters of Schlock and Ned Tad win the award for having the largest tattoo-making machine. And historic news about the New York Yankees. All right, so now let's get started.
1963. The U.S.-Soviet hotline goes into effect. According to state.gov, the need for ensuring a quick and reliable communications directly between the heads of government of nuclear weapons states first emerged in the context of efforts to reduce the dangers that accident, miscalculation, or surprise attacks might trigger a nuclear war. These risks, arising out of conditions which are novel in history and peculiar to the nuclear arms missile age, can of course threaten all countries, directly or indirectly. Right after the Cuban Missile Crisis of October 1962, an immediate need was discovered to ensure a speedy communication system between Washington and Moscow. The Russians and Americans agreed on June 20th, 1963, in a memorandum titled, ready for this? Memorandum of Understanding between the USA and USSR regarding the establishment of a direct communication link. Yep, that was the name of it. A 10,000-mile-long cable was placed between the two countries, complete with scramblers along the way to prevent interception of the message. Each country was tasked to install the link in their own territories. Finally, on October 30th, the Americans opened the line by teletyping, "The quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog, 0123456789, which covered all the letters in the English alphabet. Numbers, too. The Russians replied with something in Russian that essentially did the same thing. The line was never used, thankfully, and it still remains in existence to this day. 1791. Jefferson replies to Banneker's letter on the slavery and almanac issues. According to PBS.org, less than 2 weeks after Benjamin Banneker wrote to Thomas Jefferson, challenging the democratic ideology that denied liberty and humanity to blacks, Jefferson sent him a polite response dated August 30th, 1791, while repeatedly asserting desirability of, quote, such proofs as you exhibit, talents equal to those of the other colors of men, unquote. Jefferson fails to comment either on his impression of the almanac Banneker sent to him, or the critical issues about slavery that Banneker's letter raised. Years later, in a letter to his friend, Joel Barlow, Jefferson speculates that Banneker had help in developing the calculations for his almanac and refers to the long letter from Banneker, which shows him to have had a mind of very common stature indeed. Wait, was that an insult? What'd you call me?
2017. Tattooed New York exhibit begins. And as great as that is, I think the big takeaway from the story is that tattoos were actually illegal in New York City, get this, from 1961 until 1997. There were several reasons why. According to GothamIs.com, hepatitis B outbreaks was the main reason, though there was no sign of that actually happening. Also, the mayor wanted to clean up the town just in time for the World's Fair coming up in 1964, and or it could have been a city health inspector who had a grudge against some of the tattooists themselves, and even a scare of contaminated shellfish that somehow got in the ink.
But just like the prohibition of the 1920s, this could not be stopped either. Tattoo artists were very much in business in their own apartments. People of all walks of life wanted one. At one point, Fred Grossman, who was a tattoo artist at Coney Island, actually sued the city all the way up to the highest court in the land, but got shot down, finding out that the real reason behind the ban was that tattoos look trashy. To paraphrase. Finally, in 1997, Mayor Rudy Giuliani lifted the ban, observing throughout the entire time, tattoos were being given in the shadows, and despite that, there has never been any known outbreaks of hepatitis B. So with that, enjoy the exhibit. And finally, baseball news, 1939, New York Yankee Atlee Donald pitches a baseball, a record 94.7 miles per hour. Although Cincy Reds, our oldest Chapman, would later break that record by throwing 105.1 miles an hour against the San Diego Padres. And so that, scholars, is going to wrap it up for August 30th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's program. For instance, what's your take on the hotline between Washington and Moscow? Do you think it helped anything? What about the slavery issue that went all the way back pre-revolution? Let me know what your thoughts are on that. What about that tattoo-making machine? I've never really been much into it myself. I don't have any, Teresa doesn't have any, our son Reese doesn't have any. It's just not our thing, I guess. So yeah, let me know what you think. And be sure to check out some of the multiple choice quizzes while you're on the website. And now on to tomorrow's program. Edison patents the kinetograph. Al Reach patents the cork-centered baseball. America's reaction to the death of Princess Di. And the Night Stalker is caught. So don't miss that. In the meantime, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. So until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. See you tomorrow.